The Lord used the phrase, "ye of little faith," in four recorded instances in the Bible. Now, it appears five times in the New Testament, but it's around four instances which we have read in the Scriptures today. In each case, the Lord is speaking to the Jews, who, as then, continue to have a hard time just simply believing Jesus. How many of you know that? He called them a faithless generation. And I mean, he really gave them the business because they always required a sign. In fact, it was the Jews that occasioned the necessity for sign gifts during that early church period before we had a completed Bible, because it was the Jews that just didn't believe that salvation was available to the Gentiles. And so God gave sign gifts that the apostles used to prove to those that were of little faith that salvation was also available to the Gentile world. So really, it's kind of a shocking thought, Pastor Pack, to some people to hear that tongues were not utilized because there were quantum measures of faith. Tongues were used because there was little faith. Did you see that? It may have been used by people who were endued with faith from on high, but it was to convince people that had no faith that what God said was true. And anybody that requires that sign, even if they perceive themselves or think of themselves to be a person of faith, is just simply refusing to believe what God said. Just simply to believe what God said. Now, I believe that there were times we could see that the Lord referred to folks as faithless and as having no faith. He would ask them, "How is it that you have no faith?" And I'm glad that right now it can't be said to me, "I have no faith." But I know there are too many times where it could be said, "Oh, ye of little faith." How many of you would say that could occasionally be said of me? Okay, oh, you have little faith, okay? Now, how many of you say, it might be said of me sometimes, but you know what, as I grow in the Lord, I want it to be said of me less and less. Amen? And so, I think that we need to discern the reasons why the Lord came up with that conclusion that they were little faith. It wasn't just that he was upset and he didn't use curse words, so he said, "You have little faith." Right? No, it wasn't that at all. As we take a closer look, we can see that there are things that these Jews focused upon that led them to a position of little faith. As we consider that, we can determine how then to abound in faith. Are you with me? Okay, good. Now, I'm going to give you some things to consider. And these things are right within the portions of Scripture which we have read. Now, we read from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 about those that were worried about provisions, about food and clothing and shelter. And the Lord said, "Oh, you have little faith. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. So what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you seek God first, He's going to take care of all of the needs that you have. But because you're not, you're demonstrating that you're weak in faith. You have little faith." Secondly, we notice that there was a great storm. And we see this in three of the Gospels. And the Lord was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they came to the Lord and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And we know that the Lord arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm, and they all marveled. And the Lord said, "How is it that you, ye of little faith?" And then we saw where that Peter walked upon the sea, and he took his eyes off the Lord. He began to sink, and we know the Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith," there. And then the Lord was teaching about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they weren't getting it. And the Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Now, I want you to think about this, and for those that are frustrated and trying to take notes, if you don't get them all, the notes will be in the back when you leave today. But I want us to notice, first of all, to have little faith, okay, focus on the past, not on His sovereignty. Okay, to have little faith, focus on the past, not on His sovereignty. You say, Where's that in these passages anywhere? Well, their whole mindset was conditioned upon their human experience, right? Now, every time Peter had ever gone out toward water and he tried to get out on that water, guess what happened? Every time he went in the water, he didn't walk on it, he sank. All right. How many of that's your experience too? All right. So, you know, how many of you have ever tried to run across the pool and it didn't work? All right. We've all been there trying to walk, you know, walk on water. I think there was motivational speakers, right? Yes, you have potential. And you have potential. Anyway, I think it was Tony Robbins that would have these big events and he would have people walk on hot coals. How many of you ever did that? Oh, brother, not me, all right? Just go ahead and say that guy didn't have any potential. Because I'm not walking on hot coals for nobody know how, amen? But listen, his past experience was with water was that every time he stepped on it, he went down. And that's your experience too. And so, you know what, when the Lord said, okay, come out, you know what, he was afraid. Because all his past experience told him that if I do this, I'm going to die. Right? Now, there were those that were in the midst of the storm, and the boat was swamped. And their past experience as mariners was telling them, look, if something doesn't change here, we're all going to die. We're just going to die. That was their past experience, right? Now, when the Lord began to teach them about the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, all they could think about was the bread that the Lord multiplied and gave to the multitudes. So they're thinking about a past experience and not listening to what the Lord was telling them in the moment. So their past was impacting their faith. And then we see that their past experiences in sight living made them draw negative conclusions about their future prospects. Let me say that again. Their past experiences in sight living made them draw negative conclusions about their future prospects. Now, folks, before we start giving these guys a bad time, that would probably define most of us. Can I get a witness? Okay, I'm glad there's a few folks that are honest here today. Amen. And look, sometimes we say, well, you know, this happened to me before and this was the result and nothing's changed. Right? And so what we do is we fail in faith. We think nothing better is going to happen. And, you know, for me to think that doing this, going through the same scenario is going to change the outcome is the definition of insanity. And so what we do is we focus on our past, not on the sovereignty of God, not on the fact that God is a sovereign God that's able to rule and overrule in this situation, not on the fact that God is all powerful and there is nothing too hard for God. And you see, sometimes we focus on the past and not on the sovereignty of God. And look, we notice this. The pain of the past will induce fears that will lead us to either run from the situation or run to Jesus. Now, folks, how many of you have ever been deep in debt? How many have ever been deep in debt? Okay. Listen, we could get a few witnesses up in here today for sure, but you know, the truth is, that's a pretty scary prospect, and the older you get, the scarier it becomes. The whole concept of an annuity as a savings mechanism was really produced as a result of people's fears. The whole idea of an annuity is to not run out of money before you run out of time. So in other words, you annuitize that investment and it pays you a dividend for the rest of your life. And so the way that they make that feasible and the insurance companies win is they know the mortality tables and they've understood the return that they're going to get on that investment. They built fees in there. And so when you die, your loved ones don't get whatever is left in there. It just goes back into the general fund of that company that holds that annuity. But the bottom line is an annuity was established so you don't run out of money before you run out of time. When I get around folks that say, well, I'm just on a fixed income. they seem to be very nervous about the prospects of the future if means are tight. Right? And you know what's driving that fear? They've been hungry before and feeling disempowered, but now as they advance in years, the likelihood of earning more with the job seems smaller and smaller. Generally, you know, people aren't hiring people that are well on in years even to be the greeter down at Walmart. As good as the economy may be, people are worried about that. And so, you know what? We focus on our past experiences and we allow our fears to lead us to either run from the situation. We want to try to change our situation, or we're going to run to Jesus and let Him take care of it in His sovereignty. Notice this, certainly, that the stigma and pain of the past is not the determiner of whether God can affect a miraculous change. Now, folks, that applies for us. It applies for others that think about you. You know what? Inevitably, we'll find people that have this idea that there are hopeless cases. That person will never change. Nothing's ever going to change. They've said that before, they've done that before, and it's the same song, different day, nothing changes. And what we do is we focus on their past, and we rob the situation of any hope, and we have no faith. And listen, that's exactly in every one of these four passages that I read to you, one of the factors that led to the Lord making the declaration, O ye of little faith. They allowed their past experiences to try to predict future outcomes. Well, look, do you know what your past means in the economy of God? Zip, zero, nada, bubkus, zippo. Look, it doesn't mean a thing. God doesn't care about where you've been. What He cares about is where you are and where you're headed. And listen, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Not according to what your past would dictate or determine. You understand? Listen, that doesn't mean anything to God. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And so, my friends, if you're 30 years old, the past 3 minutes of your life in the economy of God aren't going to dictate the whole rest of it. Did you hear me? They're not. Do you believe that? And those of you that said nothing, O ye of little faith. All right. So look, here's how to have little faith. Number one, focus on the past, not on His sovereignty. You got that? Everybody got that down? I'm going to try and make a bunch of little faithers out of you here before too long. Just kidding. Come on, some of you need to lighten up a little bit. You know, I used to have a lady, and I'm sure she's with the Lord now. Her name was Alice, and she thought, you know, that church was no place for levity. And she would tell me that, you know. And so if anyone ever told a joke in church, and of course you know me, I never do that. But if they ever did, you know, she'd sit there and go like this. And she would frown and try not to get tickled the best that she knew how, you know. But it's all right. It's okay, amen. Lord bless her heart. Anyhow, number two, to have little faith, you ready? Okay, want to know how to have little faith? Focus on the physical, not the supernatural. Focus on the physical, not the supernatural. Look, when we face big physical obstacles, we reason that we are insignificant. And perhaps a big God isn't aware of our need. Let me say that again. When we face big physical obstacles, we reason that we are insignificant. And perhaps a big God isn't aware of our needs. He might be busy, you know, working in Washington, D.C. He might be busy working somewhere in the Middle East. He might be busy with all of the big churches that are going up and dealing with all of the problems of the world. And my little no-account things are not even on God's radar screen. And folks, as much as we say we don't know that, sometimes that's what we think. Now, is that what the disciples thought of the Lord? Yeah, you know what they did? Hey, Lord! Hey, not sure if you're aware of this, but the ship is sinking. Hey, Lord, wake up a minute. We're going down. All right? The ship is sinking. And you know what they said? Carest thou not that we perish? You read it in the three gospel records. They asked the Lord in two of those three. They said, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, are we not even on your radar screen? Don't you care about us? You know what? They were focusing in on the physical, the fact that the water was coming in the boat and they couldn't bail water fast enough. And Jesus was laying in the back of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. And it seemed like that he didn't even know of their peril and that much less he might not even care. Or if he did care, it wasn't even on his radar screen. Secondly, notice in this case we begin to predict negative outcomes because we have failed to see that Almighty God is in control. We begin to predict negative outcomes. You know, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the old cartoon called The Adventures of Gulliver. Anybody remember that? How many watched that when you were a kid? And how many of you remember that there was a group of little people from Lilliput. Remember? They were the Lilliputans, right? And Gulliver would carry some of them in his pocket, shirt pocket. Remember that? And there was one of them that always had his hat pulled down, and whenever they were going to go on some big adventure, his first line was, "We'll never make it." How many remember that? "We'll never..." Some of you do. All right, we're dating ourselves now, because no one else would go out with us. But anyhow, look, "We'll never make it." You know, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a half glass half empty or glass half full person? Say that again. Are you glass half empty or glass half full person? Well, you know, listen, I hope you're a glass half full person, but either way, the glass only has half its contents. Right? Somebody, "I'm a realist." Yeah. Oh, we're so proud of you. You know, would you become our life coach? You know, look, I'm going to say this again. In this case, we begin to predict negative outcomes because we fail to see that Almighty God is in control. And so look, I don't care if you're an optimist or if you're a pessimist. I want you to be a person of faith, to simply take God at His word and believe that Almighty God is bigger than your circumstances. It doesn't matter how this physical world has arranged itself against you. God is bigger than all of that. Boy, they thought the storm is going to take us out. But listen, who controls the wind and the waves? Forevermore. So, look, when we focus on the physical and not the supernatural, this focus is upon only what man can do and not what God is able to do. That's all they were thinking about. Peter's like, "Whoa, I can't walk anymore. I'm going down. I'm going to drown. You know, Lord, save me." You know, and the Lord said, "Oh, you have little faith. Come on." You know, and here they are, they're drowning. "Lord, do you care that we perish? Wake up, we're going to drown." And you know, and the Lord's like, "Hey, what's all the fuss about? You know, hey," he rebuked the wind and the waves. "Hey, be quiet." You know what I'm saying? Don't you wish it was that easy with your kids? The wind and the waves obey Jesus, but man, getting the kids to obey, I mean, that's something else, right? But, you know, listen, that might require some supernatural work. But when we focus only on the circumstances that are standing up against us, We're focusing only on what we think we can do, not upon what God is able to do. So to have little faith, focus on the past, not on His sovereignty, and focus on the physical, not the supernatural. And thirdly, focus on the perilous, not the Savior. The perilous. Now, in two of these instances, they were in perilous straits. Now, some people would say that when you talked about them being in financial distress and not knowing where they were going to get their next meal from, that was perilous too. Well, you might could put that into peril. Some of us could stand to go a few days without eating and it'd be all right. You'd survive, right? I got it figured, you know, if I could be near a water source, I could probably survive about the next 6 months without eating. Right, I've got some in reserve here. What are you laughing at? You do too. Right? You think, no, I don't. Oh, ye of little faith. Some of you are great optimists too, I'll just tell you that. But to have little faith, focus on the perilous, not the Savior. Those that find themselves in perilous straits often begin to doubt the goodness of God towards them. Now, when you get in a real fix, and I'm talking about one of these big fixes where we get to thinking that I'm in a situation that not even God's going to be able to get me out of. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody sit over in that office and say, Pastor, I'm afraid that not even God can get me out of this one. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, you said one thing right. I'm afraid. You know, but the rest of it was just a bunch of baloney, right? Yeah, there I go talking about food. Is anybody hungry? You know, every once in a while, a good bologna sandwich is good. Just, you know, just a little bit of mayo, some salt and pepper, some lettuce, tomato. You know, I mean, just the simple things in life. You know, we don't have to have fried chicken every meal. We can sometimes have bologna. But look, we begin to doubt the goodness of God. And that's what they did. You know what? They came to the Lord when the ship was sinking and Jesus was sleeping. And they said, Lord, don't you care? Of course, none of us have ever been down and out and in a fix and big perilous situation and thought that. Well, the Lord just doesn't care about me. He cares about somebody else. He really cares for Pastor Eckleberry, but not me. You know, He's going to feed Pastor Pack on biscuits, but I'm going to get nothing. Right? And we feel like that, look, God is not as good to me as it ought to be. Listen to this. In times of peril, our darkest fears become our obsession. You know that's true. That's what you think about all the time. It obsesses you. Your darkest fears become our obsession. And when we fail to meditate, or in times of peril, our darkest fears become our obsession, and we fail to meditate upon or live in the presence of our Savior. You know, Peter's like, save the Lord, help me, save me. You know, he's going down and Jesus is right there. You know, listen, I can tell you, there have been times where I was swimming and there was nobody around and I thought, I'm not going to make it. You know, and man, there was some fear there. But there were other times where I was getting tired as a swimmer. And mom or dad were right there on the bank. And I thought, you know what, even if I'm tired, if I cry out to them, they're going to be there to rescue me. Right? And I was comforted in knowing that they're there. And so, you know what, as much as I thought I'm getting tired, I didn't think I'm going to die here today. Right? Peter's like, whoa, Lord, I'm going to die. Well, Jesus was right there. Was he going to die, really? No. And the Lord said, oh, you have little faith. Sometimes when we get in perilous situations, those darkest fears become our obsession. And we fail to live with the reality that Jesus is right here. When the wind and the waves terrorize us, we need to remember the one who commands them lives within us. Let me say that again. When the wind and the waves terrorize us, we need to remember the one who commands them lives within us. And they will. They'll terrorize you. How many of you, as a kid, were afraid when you heard thunder and light, saw lightning? If you're hearing thunder and lightning, I'd say, how'd you do that, right? Many of your hands went up. Listen, your mom or your daddy would cuddle you and say, it's going to be okay. I got you. And you know what? You found comfort in that. And God's right there with us, and He's within us. And He's got this. And you know what? We just need to go off to sleep in His arms and know that He does. He's got this. It'll be okay. So to have little faith, focus on the past. Because, man, we know that however it happened back then, it's going to happen like that again. Right? Focus on the past, not His sovereignty. To have little faith, focus on the physical, not on the supernatural, because, man, this is a situation not even God can fix. Thirdly, to have little faith, focus on the perilous, that's going to terrorize you, not the Savior. Fourthly, to have little faith, focus on your perceptions, not the Scripture. Focus on your perceptions, not the Scripture. Now, I'm just going to say this to you. We all have perceptions. How many of you know that? Yeah. We all have ideas that make up what we believe. You know, the sad thing is, really, that for most people, their perceptions are their truth. How many of you know that? And how many of you know that a perception is just a perception? It's not necessarily the truth. Right? You know, now watch me here, okay? Hey, George, I want you to know that Audrey has such a contagious smile when she's up in that choir, okay? All right, now, did y'all hear me in the back when I said that? That Audrey has such a contagious smile when she's singing up there in the choir. Okay. Now, if she couldn't hear what I just said, you know what? I'm looking right at her talking to George. You know what she's thinking? He's talking about me. Well, I was, but you know what the first assumption is? Stinking gossip. Right? Mossy back gossip. Right? Talking about me, saying things about me. Was I saying anything mean about her? No, but that was her perception. And you know what? If she didn't know what I said, she might get in her car and say, I'm never coming back to that church again. If that's your Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. Right? True. Was it true? No. The devil is the father of... So what you perceived in your spirit was a lie. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be governed by what we perceive, not what we believe. Now, you have to make a choice. Either I'm going to believe what I perceive, or I'm going to believe what God said. Listen to me. You don't know what you think you know. You don't know what you think you know. You only know what you know. And you only know what is true, not what is perceived. Right? Now, for years there were people that were contributing to charitable organizations, and they were thinking, my, these are the most wonderful charitable organizations. And then somebody came up with the whole idea of financial accountability, so they required charitable organizations to put their balance sheets and all that and their budgets online for the world to look at. And you know what they found out? That some of these wonderful organizations were paying upwards, one of them, it's like, we are the world. And many of you probably at work contributed through your payroll deduction to this organization, was paying $8.5 $1 million to their CEO. And while you were giving, you were thinking, my, this is the best charitable organization since sliced bread. Right? And then you found out, hey, their CEO makes $8.5 million. And for a charity, I mean, at least he could give them a break and cut it down to $5 million. Guy ought to be able to live on that, right? That's more than I make in 6 months. Some of you are like, really? I'm not coming back to this church ever. See, that's what I'm talking about. You're following your perceptions. See, I didn't say that that's how much I made in 6 months. I said that's more than I make in 6 months. So I'm like, really? It's more than I make in 6 lifetimes, dude. Okay, so listen. To have little faith, focus on your perceptions, not the Scripture. This relies on my understanding of the situation and my wisdom. When my wisdom prevails, it's a mess. Right? I'm commanded not to lean on my own understanding, for if I do, I will inevitably prove to have little faith and little power. So, the Lord said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they thought, is he mad at me because I didn't buy bread at the market? Is he upset with us because we haven't eaten yet? Because we've taken no bread? And they didn't listen to what he said. All they were doing was following what they perceived him to be saying. And it's not at all what he said. You see the devil in the weeds there? That's how the devil messed Eve up in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to lead her to perceive that God was trying to do something evil, and so he twisted around what God said. And she let out on a perception that was totally false. It was a lie. And you know what? We've got to get away from just being governed by our perceptions, man. We need to be rooted not in what we perceive, but in what we believe based upon the truth of the Word of God. Are you with me? You know, if we just start doing that, we'd start growing in faith in quantum measures. If we just start doing that. But they're like, and so when they're like, talking among themselves, is he upset with us because we haven't eaten, or maybe we should have gone and bought bread? What in the world? And the Lord perceived what they were saying, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. You know why? Because they weren't being governed by what he said. They're being governed by their perception of what they thought he said. And so you know what the Lord said of them? Oh, ye of little faith. Some will default to the perception that rather than God growing me, He is punishing me, which is a false perception. They'll get to the place where they think, well, you know what, I look around and see anybody else going through these things. So God's got to be, He's getting after me for something. He's punishing me. Folks, listen. The only just punishment for sin is what? Death where? In hell. For how long? Forever. That's the only just punishment for sin. So look, if you're having a hard time, just dispose yourself of the perception that it's God punishing you for anything. Because if you were going to get punished for your sinful behavior, you'd have to go to hell forever. Period. So, get over the perception. Amen? Yeah. God doesn't punish His kids. He chastens them. Okay? There's a difference. Because God in His justice has removed the sin from us. And God in His love and mercy as the Father is molding us into the image of Jesus. And sometimes the process of sanding off anything that doesn't look like Him can feel like He's punishing us, but really He's just molding us. He's just making us into the image of Jesus. So, when some default to the perception that rather than God is growing them through the trial, but rather He's punishing them, they're buying into a lie, and the Lord says, O ye of little faith. They thought, the Lord is scolding us because we didn't buy bread. The Lord is upset with us because we didn't take nourishment. We could have. No, the Lord wasn't upset. The Lord was growing them. He was teaching them. But their perception led them to a false conclusion. And God said, O ye of little faith. So don't live on the basis of what you perceive. Live on the basis of what you believe, on the basis of the Word of God. Amen? And the next time that someone says, hey, George, you know that Flo? She's the nicest lady. She sent me 3 cards this month. You know what? Oh, hi, Flo. So next time you perceive that someone's talking about you, why don't you give them the benefit of the doubt? And instead of jumping to some negative conclusion, if you want to know what they were talking about, why don't you go to them and say, I saw you talking to George and looking at me. You know, I just had a feeling you were saying something about him. Is everything good? Right? Well, you know, that would be downright Christian of you. Right? I'd rather go home and have my lunch ruined because, you know, I'd have something to think about. Folks, come on. Really. O ye of little faith. You say, what does faith have to do with how I feel towards other Christians? Well, according to the Scripture, it has everything to do with it. Because God said they had little faith because they misperceived what He said. Why don't we just trust God? And if you don't trust man, why don't you go and talk to him about it? Rather than just going ahead on with your stinking perceptions. Right? Yeah. Amen. I'll say amen to me when I preach that good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay. God bless you. I see that hand. Okay. Listen. Last point, quickly. To have little faith, focus on your performance, not His sufficiency. So 5 simple steps to having little faith. Number 1, focus on the past, not on His sovereignty. Number 2, focus on the physical, not on the supernatural. Number 3, focus on the perilous, not on the Savior. Number 4, focus on your perceptions, not the Scripture. And number 5, focus on your performance, not His sufficiency. This focus, when we focus on our performance, is upon human effort and not divine provision. About how am I going to get myself out of this situation? How am I going to deal with this rather than turning to God? Sometimes we get into difficult situations and people say, I think we should pray about this. And people are like, has it already come to that? Folks, that should be the first thing we do. Instead of thinking, well, what we need to do is have a bake sale and a rummage sale and try to come up with the money. No, first thing we need to do is go to our knees in prayer before we do anything else and acknowledge that God is bigger than us. And He was well aware of the problem before we ever became aware of it. And He already has the need provided, we just don't know it yet. It's not all on you, man, or woman, whatever the case might be. So, This focus fails to see that my salvation, my standing, my sanctification, and my sufficiency are all of Christ and none of me. So, what did you do to save yourself? Nothing. None. Right? If you're a teenager, that's how, nothing, right? Sorry, teens, I'd give you better credit than that. What did you do to secure an eternal standing as righteous before Him? Nothing, right? What did you do to make yourself more like Jesus? Nothing. You know, look, He's our sufficiency in everything. Now listen, the correct view is to see God is supreme and omnipotent, and to focus on what He would have you to do, not on what you think you need to be doing. To focus on what He would have you to do, not on what you think you need to be doing. You know what, folks? I've seen way too many Christians who very sincerely were doing what they thought they needed to be doing, but it's not what God wanted them to do. And they didn't set about to sin. They just were doing what they thought they needed to be doing, but they forgot to consult with God. O ye of little faith. To have little faith, focus on your performance, not His sufficiency. Because you know what God can do in your situation? He could do anything. He can do everything. He can overcome. He's all and in all. There is no situation that is bigger than God. I'm just so tired of hearing, O ye of little faith. You say, well, Pastor, now that you told us how to do what we're already doing, being of little faith, you see, most people don't need lessons on little faith, do we? No. We're already pretty good at the little faith thing, aren't we? What we need to do is understand what it is that is limiting our faith and get it out of the stinking way. Amen. Discover what's limiting my faith and get it out of the stinking way. I say stinking when I'm really aggravated. God is able to do exceeding abundantly. What? Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise the Lord. What can God do? He can do everything. He can do anything. He can do it all. My friends, let's stop focusing on the past and letting that be predictive of our future. Let's stop focusing on the physical and focus on the supernatural. Let's stop focusing on the perilous and focus on the Savior from the peril. Let's stop focusing on our perceptions and start focusing in on what we believe based upon what God said. And let's stop focusing in on what we can do to fix this and start resting in His sufficiency. When we do, we might hear, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. You know, it's interesting, the two times Jesus marveled at faith, it was Gentiles. The Jews had a problem with it. And I'm thinking I probably have a little of that in me. God help us to become people of great faith.